You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 130 of Well Met. We're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is October 30th, 2017. From Denver, Colorado, I'm Kick Tripod. With me, of course, is the lovely crew. Take number two. Let's jump on over to Kansas City. JR, you've got a flight. You've got a flight in 2 hours, man. It's BlizzCon week. Or not two, seven hours. 7 hours.
Five plus seven. Yeah, it's a little longer than that, but that's when I have to get up for the flight for sure. So it's going to be I'm looking forward to it, man. I love going out to beautiful Southern California. Love going to BlizzCon, seeing all the people. I'll be out there for a week. Hopefully I'll be able to meet a bunch of you listeners out there and get to hang out with John and get to hang out with Ray.
Yeah, and, it's going to be awesome.
Gonna be a good time.
It's a blast. We will be at Con Before the Storm. At least I will be on Thursday night, and I'm hoping Ray and JR will at least be stopping by. So, but that will be going on.
We'll see.
Because it's a lot of BlizzPro people are going to be there. Jimmy is going to be
I'll be there.
Jimmy's going to be on the Overwatch panel. We're going to have Leviathans on the community panel, I believe. And then yep. I am on the Hearthstone panel.
Kitchen's on the WoW panel.
There you go. So
there's a lot of BlizzPro people.
Representing for sure. So it's going to be really fun. So make sure to come hang out. By the way, I didn't show you guys this last week, but we got... At VillainCon at TwitchCon, they gave us these steins, say VillainCon 2017 on them, and it is the best. I've been drinking out of it nonstop. It is the best gift. Like you know how you always get the gifts from cons and stuff like that. This was better than any con gift that I think I've gotten. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. I think when I went to the Karazhan party, they gave us these pint cups with One Night in Karazhan on them. But that stein is much cooler than that.
Yeah,
it's the stein from like last year's BlizzCon is really awkward to actually use.
Yeah, I would never use it, but it looks cool. But I just wouldn't use it. So
I mean, it has like a lid and stuff. Like to actually use it, you have to. Like hold something and it's
you have to be coordinated, Ray.
It's yes, exactly. That's asking way too much of somebody who just wants to drink out of a stein.
I just want to drink out of a stein. Well, especially that other voice. Go ahead.
Drinking beer.
That is that's Ray C. By the way, if you didn't know already, hey Ray, how you doing, man?
Oh, hi. Sorry, were you not going to introduce me next? My bad.
I don't know. I'm just introducing. And that guy awkwardly skipped over is Danny.
I mean, Ray,
Danny Donuts.
We've done this for 30 episodes now. Yeah. You know.
Hi,
you
Danny.
Know what we're doing.
Hey, Danny.
How's it going, John? Well, yeah, while you guys are all at BlizzCon, I'm throwing a well-met party. It's going to be a wild one. I'm going to throw off an episode.
Yeah, but you are going to be, because we're going to be at BlizzCon or recovering from BlizzCon next week. And so rather than canceling or postponing the show, you've got something special planned, right?
Yeah, I do. I have some top wild players. We're waiting on to see if one of them is going to come, but we definitely have two locked down. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a pretty good wild episode.
Awesome. I'm really excited for it. I know people really enjoy the wild spin that we can bring to Hearthstone podcast. So I think it'll be pretty cool. So, yeah. Well, boys, let's talk about our weeks really quick. Danny, I saw you did hit Legend finally this month, right?
Yeah, I did. I hit Legend with some Token Druid, decided to push through, actually got it from rank 5 in about maybe 3 or 4 hours. So of playing from 5, I went on a ridiculous win streak. But yeah, right now I'm just messing around with Reno Mage, seeing if I can get that to be viable. Right now I think there's something there. There's a good Reno Mage deck, but I can't find it. So I'm tinkering around with the deck.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, hey, congrats. Ray, how you been doing, man? Are you Legend yet?
No, I mean, I could be. I'm like rank 2.
Okay.
But I decided to play Arena. I still had my Winter Festival quest from a long, long time ago. And I figured, you know what? It's been about a year or something. I might as well complete it now.
Fair enough.
Why? Yeah, but I did compete in 2 major tournaments over the week that Geico hosted. And I got past the first phase, which got me $500. And then the second phase, I lost to Zalay and Muzzy, I believe. And I was not playing well at all. I did not feel good those days. And I actually just didn't even want to play. I was just like, is playing for four, like, it was like $2,000 if you won, and it was only 4 people. So I was like, is playing a 4-person tournament for an extra $1,500 really worth getting up out of bed right now? I should have stayed in bed. That's what I learned from that.
Wow, life is hard for Ray.
So it's difficult.
Pretty expensive nap.
Yeah, right? Pretty expensive nap.
I was so sick, dude. I threw up on my jersey, and then I had to change in between matches. And then people were like, whoa, he's like, what happened? Like, I was looking like fine one round, and then in between, like while I was watching one of the other games, I just threw up all over my jersey, had to change, and then I looked like death for the second one. And I played so bad. I was so embarrassed after like watching it later. I was like, man, I was just playing cards as soon as my turn started. Just like, I just did not care at all. Like, you could just see it. And I just felt really embarrassed after the fact. Like, a couple days later, I was like, man.
Well, you're in the clear. No more Hearthstone. You don't have to play anything else before BlizzCon, right?
I do not. But still feels bad. It is what it is. But I got to tighten up for next year, obviously.
Yeah, you do, Ray. Yeah, you do. Let's jump over to JR. JR, what are you up to this week, man?
So don't tell this to Reddit, guys, because Reddit will not believe it. But I went to a fireside gathering on Saturday and I had fun.
Whoa.
Wow.
True story. True story. I know it's hard to believe. But it was a good time.
Was your fun one not spoofed in to your brain?
It was spoofed, actually. There's probably maybe 40 people, I think. It was shown we had over 100. So that was interesting. But, you know, as I said last week, that doesn't bother me too much. We played the brawl, the Fireside Brawl this week is at 3v3, where you choose a class up front, and then both players are at 20 life, and then you play through, and when you die, it clears the board, and the person that died gets to choose a new class, and you do that until you go through 3 classes, and someone loses 3 classes, and then whoever wins, you know, kills them off 3 times. So that was actually really fun, because there is some interesting scenarios that would happen, because these are all pre-built decks, like pre-made decks. So they all had the same cards in them, but some of them had like Fuegan and Stalag. And so you had an interesting decision on, if I kill them this turn, all their stuff is going to die, and they're going to begin their next turn with an 11-11 creature on the board.
Oh, so it's not like it restarts the game. It just...
No. It continues on with where you're at in the mana. So you had to make that decision. And so we had turns where we'd actually be like, okay, let's leave these guys up for now. And maybe, you know, or something like that. And then see if we can find a way to trigger them next turn. And also kill them off so that we can kill off the 11-11s that are in play as well. So there is interesting scenarios where you had to be careful with the death rattles because they might trigger something and then adversely affect you later on because of that.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
That's cool how they're doing more of that experience type gaming, you know, with Hearthstone at those fireside
gatherings.
Yeah,
but we had a tournament with it. My team got second. So that was pretty fun.
Nice. Cool.
We had one insane turn our very first game where they had gotten like Fuegan or Stalag, whichever one was the bigger cost minion, the 7/4. And we drew, so that had already died. And then we drew Priest. And our first draw was the Spirit Umbra Spirit Singer, I think is the name of it. The one that triggers death rattles.
The one that Spirit Singer Umbra. Yeah.
Yeah. And Fuegan. So we were able to play them both.
Four mana get an 11-11.
And then got the 11-11 as well. Like Thaddeus. Right off our first turn.
Nice.
Yo. It was amazing.
Thaddeus coming in with the thunder.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's pretty cool. As for me, didn't get to play a whole lot of Hearthstone this week. Destiny 2 launched on PC, and I've been playing a ton of that. And also got a little bit sidetracked with PUBG for some reason. I don't know. Just been having a lot of fun playing squads. And I'm like 4 for 5 for chicken dinners and squads between yesterday and today. So that was pretty cool. So just having a lot of fun doing that. It's a great time to be a gamer. There's a lot of games to play right now. And with Hearthstone on the eve of an expansion, you know, just kind of.
I've been playing Super Mario Odyssey all week.
Oh, that's a great game.
Is it so good?
Is it as good as so people good. Say?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to play it on the plane. I haven't played it yet, but I have it. I'm going to bring it on the plane because my flight's like 7 hours back and forth, so I think you can play it, right? Like you can just bring the Switch on the plane with you, just play it there.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm gonna do, just play it on the way there and on the way back. Seems
that's
like
what
good
I plan on doing too.
Is it that long?
Like yes. I mean, I probably have like 4 or 5 hours, and I'm not even. I'm like on the second world, but I'm also there's so much, there's so much like stuff that you can get. It's an open world environment. So I do a lot of exploring.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some news, guys, because we can talk about Super Mario Odyssey. No, we're not going to. We're going to the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, so we do have some news this week. Not a whole lot, though. A little bit of a calm before the storm thing. We've got BlizzCon coming up in 4 days, and pretty exciting. We did get a couple of pieces of news, though. First, the Amazon Prime Golden Pack. November, is that by November 8th, Danny?
It starts November 8th.
Starts November
8th. So right after BlizzCon.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's going to be going on. Make sure to log in right after BlizzCon. Tie your Twitch and Amazon Prime accounts together and get some free in-game loot. Yay. Second, so BlizzCon opening ceremonies are taking a little bit different approach to their announcement for their announcement keynote this week. And so how it's going to be working, normally they have a huge stage. It's the epic stage, right? Is that what it's like, mythic stage or something? But it's
Yeah,
it's they renamed the stages this year. I think
it's their biggest stage, and normally everybody comes out on that stage, does the announcement for all the different games. But this year, it's going to be a little bit different, right, Jer?
Yeah. So this year, they announced this like a while back, but I just didn't I don't think people fully understood it until Ben Brode said something today. I'm like, hey, I hope you guys come to the Hearthstone stage because that's where we're going to be announcing the new stuff for Hearthstone. And it's during the opening ceremony. And it's like, wait a minute. That means that they're going to do the opening stuff on the opening ceremony. And it's going to be broadcast to all of the other stages. And then the individual stages, like the next thing that gets announced, they're going to announce it on that stage and then broadcast it to all the other stages.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. It's going to be nice to, I can go and maybe hang out by the Hearthstone stage, since that's what I'm most interested in, and not even bother with the main stage and, you know, all of the traffic that goes in there.
Right.
That'll be kind of nice. So on the flip side of that, I can see, one of the coolest things about BlizzCon is that opening ceremony. And getting in there and watching it from the main stage and all the electricity of everybody excited. And if they're going to spread it out across the convention floor, that seems kind of weird. They're going to lose something, but I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. I'm going to have to see.
I think it is naturally going to be less quote unquote hype just because you don't have all the people screaming in one area, which just the energy that gives off is you can just feel it.
Right.
I definitely see that. At the same time, it's kind of neat. I know at least for JR and I, we're pretty big Blizzard fanboys. We play a lot of different Blizzard games and can just about get excited for any Blizzard game that they're making announcement for relatively. And there are some people like that. But if you're just a Hearthstone person or just an Overwatch person, it might be really neat to just sit with people who care the most about Hearthstone or Overwatch. And that also might be kind of electric, too, to be, hey, I'm a big Overwatch fan, and these are a bunch of other Overwatch fans. And it's also really nice, too, because last year we had to choose between getting a good spot in the Overwatch World Cup arena and getting a spot at the Epic stage or the big stage, the main stage, whatever it was. So this year it's I'll probably go sit in the bowl for Overwatch World Cup and watch the stuff there and, do it that way. So I think it could be both ways. And honestly, I think the number of people that are there anyways, just, makes it so that everyone can see some live content.
Yeah, and there becomes a point where they just shut off that main stage and no one can enter because they can only fit so many people in there.
But I have a feeling Hearthstone's going to be the most tame of the crowds.
I don't think so. I think Hearthstone's probably going to be the second biggest, announcement wise.
Oh yeah, but for whatever reason, the actual energy feels
people in there. Yeah,
yeah. I get what you're saying. It's tough. It's hard to be as excited as that Sombra video last year, right? Where, she hacks the whole video, hijacks the whole thing, and everyone's freaking out versus, what was it? Mean Streets of Gadgetzan last year.
That trailer was
pretty cool, though. I like the
Gadgetzan one. All their trailers are really cool, but it's not oh my God, this is so neat.
Last year was Mean Streets, the year before that was Reno, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Wow, it's been that long already.
Explorers. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So anyways, that's pretty cool. We've got some stuff going on for BlizzCon that week though, right? So we've got some developer interviews that Ray and I are going to be a part of. BlizzPro is gonna have a whole bunch more for Hearthstone, Overwatch, World of Warcraft, Diablo, and Heroes, I believe.
Yeah.
And StarCraft, actually.
Yeah, I think we're interviewing Yang Wu and Dan Emmons from the Hearthstone team. So we'll have that video up shortly after BlizzCon.
Yeah. So, and we'll also be putting it on your podcast feeds too. So you'll also be able to listen to that. It's a little extra bonus content.
Actually, when I met Yang Wu, the first time I met him, it was really funny. He was like, it was at PAX East, and he was talking about how cool of a tournament it was. And I was like, yeah, this tournament's awesome. And he's like, yeah, it's great to see like all these people be here in real life and stuff, and everybody gets a chance to win and yada, yada, yada. And then he's like, I wonder who won this tournament. And I was like, same. I wonder who won this tournament. It was me. It's like, great to see you've been watching it, bud.
Young's fun. We always get a selfie every year. Young's the king of selfies when you see him. So
he's a great guy. Just a great dude.
Really, he was good. They had like a really cool fireside gathering at a brewery, and they were just like broing out pretty much. I was like, I can vibe with this.
Yeah, he's really chill. He was our first dev that we interviewed. We had him on the show, episode 50. That was fun. Yeah. What else about BlizzCon before we go into Hearthstone specific stuff?
Well, I also know that Ben Brode's going to do a rap, supposedly, during one of the panels on Saturday.
Of course he is.
Yes. A live rap.
This will be interesting, because he's doing it live. He doesn't have all the takes, because I bet he took a lot of takes doing all the ones he's done before. I'd like to see him in his element, seeing if he can pull it off freestyle.
Maybe he'll accept rap battle challenges.
Ooh.
Dang. That'd be pretty cool.
I'm about to spit that fire.
Sorry, I just threw that one out there. I know the big news you're alluding to, though, was the free card that we're going to get if you have the virtual ticket.
Yeah, Marin the Fox. You get a free gold Marin the Fox when you purchase a BlizzCon virtual ticket. And we don't really know a whole lot about this card, do we?
It looks like a pirate. That's about all I know.
Yay.
Yay, pirates.
Yeah. I've got it. We're going to kind of jump around here. We're not going to do any formal segments this week. And let's just chat for a second. Marin the Fox pretty much confirmed some sort of pirate expansion. I would say, at least thematically, some sort of...
I don't know if it's going to be fully pirates. I think it's going to be like treasure hunters, and pirates are included in that. Like, it's going to be treasure. I feel like it's going to be treasure oriented.
Feels a lot like League of Explorers then.
Round two. League of Explorers 2.
I'd rather just have a pirate theme.
But see, League of Explorers was more about artifacts. Like, you know, more like Tomb Raider style. This is more like actual adventure. Treasure.
Just cave raider. It's not a tomb with treasure. It's just a cave with treasure. Okay.
You're going to get a map with an X on it.
I don't know. Making more pirates like feels really weird to me, because Galaka Crawler is already so strong in the metagame right now. Adding more pirates basically means that card is a 2-of in every single deck. And the swing of that card being played is so insane that it just doesn't make sense to print like a set based around pirates right now.
Yeah, but they have probably been planning this expansion long before.
Well, we know that they've had this plan since the beginning of the year, because when we saw the images, like, we were all predicting what those images meant. And the final one was a bag of gold. So something to do with treasure.
Yeah. I think that like doesn't necessarily mean pirate in the sense of like the archetype. Like, it could be more adventurous, like I don't really know what a...
Think of it like Christopher Columbus, like
explorer
type thing.
Yeah,
like that's what I think it could be.
Like a league?
Oh my god, no. No, that was like...
The League of...
That was Tomb Raider. This is like adventurous, like going on the sea, exploring new places. Like we're not going to tombs. We're just conquering some Indians. Just, you know, the standard.
I wrote an article about this, and I wanted to point out one thing to you guys. That, you know, the Hearthstone Invitational that they're having. There's four team names, and if you look at the team names, you have the Jungle Giants, which is an obvious reference to Journey to Un'Goro. You've got the Grim Street Grifters, Mean Streets of Gadgetzan. You got the Chillblade Crusaders, Knights of the Frozen Throne, and the final team is the Big Time Buccaneers.
No! I know, that's like... but what if it's not pirates?
They're pulling a fast one on us. They're making us think that it's pirates, and they're going to pull the rug out from under us in space.
You can have a pirate theme without printing a bunch of pirates. There's a lot to pirates than just pirates. Okay?
No.
There is, absolutely. Let me tell you.
Print a ship card?
I think the keyword we're going to get is plunder.
That would make a lot of sense, but I just hope they're not all pirates.
What does it do? It plunders.
Oh, I know. If you killed a minion this turn, it has an effect.
I was gonna say, my idea was like a death rattle or whatever, like that would allow you to steal cards from your opponent's hand.
That seems way too broken.
Not if it's expensive enough. Imagine a 1/1 death rattle for 4 that when they kill it, you get to take an opponent's card.
Yeah, that's way too good. Still really good.
I was expecting something to do with, I mean, obviously like treasure. I was like Dean Ayala had said that this week that they're going to continue going forth with the idea of two legendaries. Two class legendaries per set.
You were so upset about that.
I it's fine. It is what it is, right? So anyway, I'm wondering if because of that, so we're gonna get, I feel like we're gonna get some kind of theme then for the legendaries. I wonder if it's gonna be something with either John's idea of plunder or some kind of treasure like card or something that all the class legendaries are gonna get. We've got quests, then we've got Death Knights, and now we're going to get whatever this is.
I like the idea of when a minion, like, if a minion died this turn, you get an effect. That just seems really cool. I don't know why. Like, that feels like a pirate thing to do, like, kill somebody and take their stuff.
Pass.
Take their treasure.
Pass. What?
Pass?
Pass.
Hey, to be fair, though, you're thinking about pirates in the current context of pirates. We could have some pretty sweet pirates come in. Like, you're thinking about low minion pirates. Wait until they drop the 10-mana pirate.
There's no way that they're going to drop pirates that are good that are also, like, a pirate archetype. It wouldn't make any sense to me. Galactic Crawler would be so good. Patches is already so...
Pirates versus ninjas.
Pirates is already so good, please.
Ooh, pirates versus ninjas, that would be fun.
Blizzard.
That seems sounds like something they would do too.
Blizzard, please, just I'm begging you right now.
We kind of got that. I mean, that was basically the Golden Lotus versus, or whatever it was, the Jade Lotus versus the Grime Street Goons. So we already basically got that with some potion makers in there.
I mean, that was cool. I don't know why they didn't finish out the tri-class. I really want to ask the devs that when we interview them, why they never finished out the tri-class idea. They only did 3 when they had more to do. Like, Magic has all of them over time. And I wonder if they're going to revisit that or if they're just going to leave
felt
it.
Like we asked that question to them last
They've
year.
Already talked about it. They said that they're not opposed to printing more tri-class cards, but it's not something that they're immediately planning on doing.
They felt like it was something that they just wanted to stick with that one set.
So odd.
It just means that they have a lot of ideas. They don't need to start recycling old ideas yet. So, like, plunder.
It triggers my, like, OCD. Because I want it to be complete. And it's like the episode of Jimmy Neutron where the guy only ate, like, one bite of everything and he didn't finish it. Do you remember that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't been 12 years old for a long time.
He wouldn't finish his projects. He never finished his projects, and that was his thing. He just never finished anything, and it triggered him.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think you just make stuff up sometimes.
I swear, no, I'm not making this up. Blizzard not finishing their projects, man. It's. I just want them to finish it out.
Well, I mean, they might come in and help finish up a project that they had in the past. Like, you had the Grimy Goons. The hand buff mechanic wasn't particularly good. But, I mean, it's been 2 or 3 expansions, and they can now add in tools and potentially make things come back and bring it back to the forefront.
But that's not, like, the same thing as, like, you print 3 tri-class cards, and then you have the other 3... And you just don't do it. Or however many more there would be. However many combinations there are. I don't know. Just not doing it, man. Just makes me triggered.
Anyway, John, I'm coming back to your thoughts on Lego Explorers. And the more I think about it, like, treasure and how would that mechanic work, it makes me think of Discover. I'm like, damn it, maybe this is League of Explorers 2.0.
No, I know. I figured it out. Okay, if you've dealt damage to the opposing hero this turn, like, you get a treasure. Because, like, it's like how real life works, where you, like, you're a pirate and you punch them and then you steal their gold.
So it's going to be Smork face decks all the time.
No, just go face. No,
just go face. That's go face. Get that treasure.
I mean, let's see. Maybe. We'll see.
I think they're gonna do more stuff with, like, controlling your opponent's cards somehow.
I would love that. I would love that. But at the same time, I kind of agree with Ray that depending on what it is, it could be, like, completely broken.
Yeah, like a 6-mana 5/5 that reduces the cost of everything in your deck by 1 in hand, or hand by 1. Sure, I get it. Or a 2-mana 2/2.
No.
+1/+1.
Stealing your opponent's cards is way too powerful.
Yeah, I was talking about stealing stuff.
Because I'm just saying, we've seen a lot of powerful things that people have said many times before. That's way too powerful. And, you know, they've printed them and it's worked really great. So
it could be something where it's not so much like stealing. It might just be you get a copy because they've done that so many times.
Yeah, but that's not fun.
That's not new and exciting.
Or like if this minion is still in play, like, and, you know, draw your opponent's card or something like that where they can't draw cards.
There's going to be some treasure, like how there were the Death Knight cards for Lich King and stuff. There's going to be treasure cards.
Like potions. Be a coin. Like spare parts.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more like Quest, though, where you have, like, the map and you're going to the X and you got to do a bunch of things and then you get the treasure.
The golden monkey.
It's
going
to be similar to Quest.
No.
Something new. They're really good at doing new things.
Now, my question is, since this seems to be treasure related, are we going to see Reno Jackson?
No, we're going to see Dino Jackson, remember?
No, we're supposed to see Dino Jackson in Journey to Un'Goro.
It's Gino Raxon.
We're
going to
see a new version of Reno Jackson.
Gino Raxon.
Like they did with Elise.
I actually think that we could see Reno or, like, some type of Explorer come back as a new card. That's true. They did do that with Elise, so I can see them doing that with other cards. I don't know what the effect would be, but It could happen. We do need some neutral life gain right about now. That would be really nice. That's the one thing that the game is really missing right now.
If you have no duplicates, your opponent loses 30 health.
Yep, exactly.
No.
Gain 30 armor.
No. Like, okay, like a 6 mana legendary that gains you 10 health is like, that's just good.
Like a 5 mana 3/3 that gives you 8 health. It's also a mech.
I mean, John, why?
Just have an original thought, Ray. Just have an original thought.
I'm a sheeple, dude.
Just like, how can they reprint these cards from the past?
Because, like, they can do whatever they want. They're Blizzard.
It's true.
No, I'm always excited to see what they come up with.
I'm just trying to think of things that they haven't really done thematically yet in Hearthstone.
There's so many.
Maybe they'll make this card a lot of thing.
No. They've already tried that. They failed. They go back. I'm going to be sad. This card, decks in general, are just bound to fail. Because
Didn't Dean make a post? Dean Ayola made a post on the Blizzard forum saying that they're definitely putting some discard cards in the expansion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and he's bound to fail. I'm sorry. Discard, like, for competitive play, discard decks are bad because it's RNG. Yeah. I'm gonna discard my best card in my deck and lose immediately because I'm playing a bad discard deck. I'm gonna tell it right to his face.
Just only play good cards so you don't have a best card in your deck.
No, that's not how Hearthstone works because of legendaries and the way that the game works.
Which legendary discards?
No. So if you're to play a discard deck, you're playing like Quest or you're playing the
right now.
What legendary is revolves around discards? The best one, the 5-drop. The one that has lifelink.
Yeah, it starts with B.
Lanethal.
Yeah,
Bloodclean Lanethal.
Yeah.
Like, I tried a discard lock, and it was just so bad because you discard your crucial cards, and you immediately lose because now all of a sudden I don't have any way to gain life, whatever. And then there's the discard card that comes back to your hand, which is really good. But if you don't discard that one, I don't know. And now all of a sudden you're just stuck with a really bad minion.
I just want discard warlock to be a thing just so Ray can eat these words.
I want it to be a thing so Reddit will cry.
I think it can be a thing if they just print cards that are so strong that it doesn't matter. But for competitive reasons, it is very scary because it is all RNG based.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be, for discard to work, it has to be something where you choose what to discard.
Could you do a discover discard? But
the problem is, legendary.
Yeah. The problem is, though, if you're able to choose what you discard, like that itself in a discard warlock deck would be completely overpowered. Like, because then it would be too good.
What about like a discover discard where you only had 2 or 3 choices to choose from, so it's not guaranteed, but chances are pretty good that you're not discarding your most meaningful.
I think that targeted discard could be viable if it was costed correctly.
Legendary effect.
Like, I think it could be viable. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a legendary effect, like a 2-mana discard a card in your hand, draw a card or something like that could be okay.
Maybe choose a card to discard.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a 3-mana, choose a card. Like something like that could be good, and that's not too overpowered by any means.
So I'm going to go off this because we're talking about this possible expansion. And we know that it's probably going to be like 9 legendaries that are geared around this one idea. What about artifacts? Something that sticks on the board throughout the entire game.
I would like to see that. Something. I would like
and
to
that's
see that.
The artifact for that class or the treasure.
They haven't done that, and that would be really cool. Or something kind of, it has like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a static effect.
Yeah.
Like permanent on the board.
Like the rogue quest, but without it being a quest.
Right. Right, or like how
a passive hero power? something like that.
Yeah, or, just like a static effect that does something.
Or like something like the, you know how the corpse stalker, the rogue legendary that sticks on the board. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it dies, and you got to do stuff to bring it back, but it doesn't like ever go away from that board state.
Right, unless it's silenced.
Right.
That would be really cool. Like, artifacts is something that they haven't really explored with. Like, maybe it could be another slot in the game, like how quests were something that were like secrets, but not secrets. Artifacts could be like weapons that aren't weapons. You know what I mean? Like, it go like next to weapons, or like on the opposite side of where the weapons would go, but they would be artifacts.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they'll call it artifacts.
Just that's what came to my mind.
Yeah, some sort of like treasure.
Yeah.
Maybe they just call it treasure. Maybe they call it plunder. I don't know.
No, plunder is going to be the keyword.
Yeah, that's the action.
Fair enough.
Artifacts are going to be the theme of the like the legendaries, like the Death Knight or the quest of the set. And it won't be called artifacts, because that's too obvious and that's been done a million times before.
Or once, but yeah. Just
no, magic's done it.
Oh, are we playing magic?
No. I'm saying like other, like it's too common of a thing. Like, I feel like Blizzard wouldn't just reuse the same.
But they already made artifacts. And it's also a big thing in WoW. You have artifact weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you? Okay. I don't know. Well, I'm not going to lie. I know nothing about it. Well, maybe they will. Maybe they'll make it artifacts. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
See, and I was thinking, like, when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of something like artifacts or enchantments in Magic the Gathering that have something you can play on the board that affect, you know, the game.
Yeah.
Static just, on the board.
You know, there is that slot on the opposite side of your hero. So you've got your hero power on one side. On the other side, you could put that static effect, whatever it is.
I mean, they could be weapons. That would be fine, too, if like the artifacts are artifact weapons, and each class had an artifact weapon.
Maybe something like Medivh's weapon, where you know how like you want to cast a spell, it deteriorates? Maybe mm-hmm. something like that.
I do think we're due for a dual wield.
That like a double strike type thing where you hit twice.
Not like Wind Fury though. Like, imagine being able to have
two weapons,
a weapon on your right and a weapon on your left, essentially.
Well, what about the weapon stacking? You can go and play a weapon on top of another weapon.
I just imagine
Thrall like duct taping two weapons together. Like, there we go. Now it's two. Huh.
Twice as powerful.
Twice as powerful.
No. Like that, like mechanically, that would just be really awkward. I don't think that they would do that.
I think dual wielding weapons would be pretty easy though.
How? Like, you would, it just feels awkward. Like, what would you do when you click your hero and you go to attack someone?
Your hero splits in half.
it would choose your primary slot first, your secondary slot second, just like in WoW.
Maybe. We'll see. I think this is a future thing. This is a future endeavor. I'm on the artifact train.
I see what you're
this.
Saying with the artifact, though. I get it. I like it.
Yeah. This double weapon thing. This is not this set. It's not. I think the double weapons, maybe that's a future set when they incorporate like ninjas and warlords or something like that, maybe, but not now.
Yeah. Ninjas versus astronauts.
No, what? Why?
All right.
What?
Ray, see you later.
I'm going with the artifact train myself, too.
See you later, Ray. Bye. His webcam just like totally went up and started looking at his ceiling for no reason at all. He didn't touch anything. I don't know.
Does that.
So anyways. There was one thing that I wanted to talk about. So Dean had mentioned earlier, it might have been during Un'Goro, that during every development cycle, they leave around like five cards that they, because they typically produce everything two expansions in advance, but they leave around five cards that they really develop like right before the expansion comes out. So do you guys have any thoughts on like what they would want to like produce if they were to create the cards, like if they're making it right now, which I think they're probably wrapping that up right now. What do you think they would be producing based off of this meta?
That's a good question.
I had a pretty good one, but I'll open the floor to you guys first.
I don't really think there's a huge problem with the meta right now. I think the meta's pretty good. I don't have any issues with it. Like, maybe Priest might be a little bit overpowered or something like that, but... Man, I don't know. I can't think of much that they would need to do to like kind of hot fix the metagame. Like, there's already Galaka Crawler to try to keep Rogue in check. There's already the only thing I can really think of is like a Weasel Tunneler type card,
yeah,
or a Beneath the Grounds type thing.
But other than that, I had an idea that was if you're going something like anti Kel'Seth would be what I would want to see. Something where you like play a minion, maybe like a one drop or something, and it puts a two mana card into your opponent's deck.
Yeah, I was thinking something like a Weasel Tunneler or like add cards to your opponent's deck to shut off Raza and Kel'Seth.
Yeah. This isn't just about like countering something that's prevalent too. The way I read that is that it also could be, you know, any themes that maybe they thought might be strong that didn't end up really getting the traction that they wanted. They might throw in a card or two to kind of buff that specific archetype, like Beast Druid.
Beast, I mean, Druid, that could be a thing.
But
I mean, Aggro Druid's like pretty close to Beast Druid. Like, it uses Mark of Yasharg.
I haven't thought of a specific example of something that
Handbuff Paladin.
Yeah.
The Grind Sheet Groons, the hand buff stuff hasn't been gotten much traction. That would be really cool to come back like two expansions afterwards or three, and then and come and start buffing some stuff like that.
It'll be relevant for like 3 months.
Elemental stuff. People were really scared about elementals being really powerful, and they weren't. Maybe we get a extra elemental card or two.
Actually, one thing that was interesting, now that I look back on it, was when the rotation happened after the Bahamas, I believe it was, they thought that Kazakus Priest was going to be the best deck. This was before Anduin was a card. And then it was just terrible. But their internal playtesting group thought that Kazakus was going to be like the best thing in the world for whatever reason. I don't know how high they were when they were playtesting, but It was not good. And then Anduin came out. So looking back on it and now thinking about this, like, what if they made Anduin, they tweaked it so that way it was fit perfectly into that archetype that they had already planned to be a thing in a previous set, but it failed miserably.
You got to think when they were making this expansion as well, right? Because they were making this, they made Knights of the Frozen Throne during Karazhan, which is when we had when Priest was garbage, when we had the Purify shenanigans and all that stuff. So they came in and they started to develop cards that were really good in Priest. So, I mean, I think we can kind of advance that forward as well. If we have something, what was it? Mean Streets is when they started developing this current set. So if we look at like what was weak during that period, maybe they start to push things a little bit more forward. Like, I mean, Pirates really started to push out Zoo. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of good Zoo cards. And then, I don't know, Hunter was pretty bad as well. So maybe start seeing some Hunter stuff.
I think Hunter definitely needs some love. I think Warlock's going to get a lot of love, especially if for whatever reason they are on this war path to make discard a thing, then sure, whatever. Maybe it'll fit well in Zoo, whatever they end up making, but
I'm just sick of the only good Hunter deck being some sort of hybrid or mid-range play minions on curve
Yeah. I want to see Control Hunter, man.
Control Hunter would be a lot of fun.
There's just no good control.
Great again.
No.
No, it's starting to pick up in Wild. Face Hunter's starting to come back.
No, dude. Control Hunter would be so cool because they have the card that's 5 mana that gets 2/1 drops. Now imagine if they had a good 1 drop that was a control type card. I don't know what it would have to be, but it could be a 1 drop that is defensive in some way instead of aggressive like every other Hunter 1 drop would be. Like a defensive Hunter 1 drop or a taunt or something like that. So that way you can play the 5 mana card. Like, that's my favorite card in Hunter. It seems weird, but that's like, I love that effect. It's plus card advantage. But the problem is there's no good 1 drops to get. Like, the best one is Jeweled Macaw. But like, Hunter is just so non-control-y that you're just dead. Like, you have no way to clear boards. You have no way to target removal anything, really, that's threatening. I don't know.
I wish they had like a one drop like that bloat bat. You know, that 4 mana one that does 2 damage to everything. If there was a lower costing one with a similar effect, I think that would be pretty cool.
I mean, there's the Tentacles of N'Zoth, which is like a pseudo, like what you're saying, but it's not good. You need like a taunt or something that's not dead on turn 6 or going later on into the game. You need cards that just aren't good only on curve, which is what Hunter really only has right now. Like, you need to hit your cards on curve. The reason why other control decks are so good is because a lot of their cards, even though they're lower costed, are still good at any point in the game.
Yeah.
Hunter's cards that are just good on curve, mostly. Like, they have no spells that are really that good after you're past the turn. Like Deadly Shot, that's just terrible most of the time. Tracking is the only one that's really good, like later into the game.
Yeah.
And all the removal is really, it just feels so bad.
Yeah. No, it's totally
what
true.
They need is more like minion specific removal, though, because if you can make it like Quick Shot was really powerful, something that can target the opponent's face, you want to make it so that it's just minion. Like, I don't know, if you give them what's the 3 mana warlock spell that does damage, Shadow Bolt. If you gave them something like that, that'd be pretty cool.
I would like to see, or something that's like beast related, so they can have that beast theme that they always try to push. Like, if you have a beast on the board, I know Kill Command deals 5 damage, but like a 2 mana card, like destroy a minion if you have a beast on the board, or a fight mechanic, which I think that they have maybe done before, if you don't know what I'm talking about, like have your minion fight their minion, so to speak, and then like you just deal damage to each other. I don't know. Just anything cool like that.
Well, let's table this for just a second. And let's take big, bold predictions here. This is where we want the big, bold ones. We talked about keywords we think we might see. Talked about what we think the key themes will be. Any surprises expected for you guys this week at BlizzCon from the Hearthstone team?
I think we're going to see some new features around competitive play. And whether that is competitive play from the ladder or competitive play as in tournaments, I'm not sure. We might see both. I'm hoping.
My high expectations that are realistic are a tournament, not a tournament mode as in like you can play, like go into like an MTGO tournament mode where you can play tournaments. But more like if you are at a sanctioned event, there is a pause button type feature, that kind of tournament mode. That's my realistic hope.
Not even sanctioned, like Fireside Gatherings or something like that where...
Well, I think those are sanctioned, right? Like,
yeah, but I would like to see like a tournament clients type thing where you lock in decks, the admin can look them over.
No, there's no way they're going to go that far. The farthest I think that they would go is friendly battles have pause mode.
which is fine. Fixed spectator mode. I mean, Overwatch has already revamped their spectator observer mode more so in the last like 2 months than Blizzard ever has, or as Hearthstone ever has.
Yeah, I think that they'll make changes to the latter. That's a reasonable thing to expect, and I think that they'll potentially announce their competitive circuit for next year, since it starts in January. It starts in January, so this would be the ideal time to announce it, since Worlds isn't till January, right?
Right.
When is Worlds? It's in January, right?
Yeah. Amsterdam.
So if it starts in January, it starts January 1st, it would make sense to announce it beforehand, not the month of. So that way people can start grinding opens, because I feel like you need to have the points and stuff all set and announced before people start playing for them.
I feel like they'll just do what they did this year. Like, that was the whole reason for them to go with the scheduled releases that they did, is to make that a more standard thing that going, like, I don't see them changing that a lot. Maybe they'll change how you can get points. Maybe a little bit, but I don't see them like changing the schedule.
I see them adding more stuff, like more like at the end of every month, there's going to be this big cup that is its own point giver. That's not a part of online cups, and online cups will be like worth less than they were before to make it not so toxic to like non-pro players. It's not just a grind fest. Whoever can play in more tournaments, whoever has the most time, is going to do better. I would like to see a thing where you can play in like one of these cups per month, and they're run by Blizzard in some, or sanctioned by Blizzard in some way, unlike the online open cups.
Yeah.
And you can only play in like one per month, and there's like maybe three spread out throughout the month. Something like that. Something really different. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah. I think that they announced the ladder rework at BlizzCon. That's my big prediction. They said that they were trying to have it like they were on pace to have it ready by the end of the year to at least announce.
So. Yeah. If that's the case, they have to do it now, because if they do it after January 1st, it is a detriment to all competitive players, because not knowing what you're playing for is a terrible feeling.
I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, you have to get it to a certain high amount on the ladder. If they waited for the year transition to add the new ladder system versus the competitive year transition, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
It feels really bad as a player to not know what you're competing for, though. Like, if I'm going
to
play,
you're always trying to go to the top, whether that's a number 1 through 5 or some, you know, 1 through 200, or
like Shoop is a perfect example of this, is where he has a real job, so he has to pick and choose what he spends his time on competitive wise. So his goal isn't always to get to the top. It's to get to a certain spot and then stop playing.
Right.
So he can spend time on other things.
But they won't, like, in January, they'll find a way to equalize the points to where, you know, top 50 in this system roughly equates whatever it is to the next system. And even then, I don't think that legend ladder is anything that changes. I think legend ladder they keep.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be something like, if you got X legend, like, you'll get a not as hard of a reset every month or something like that.
I mean, all the way up through, I'm still really hoping for the leagues, little leagues that you only can go up and down in month to month.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
That'd be really cool.
It also make me feel special to know that, like, I would be in like the very top, like, I could be I could be in Challenger or Grandmasters. I don't know.
It's rewarding the skill and not necessarily directly rewarding the time, right? Because right now it rewards time and skill, but a big part of it is if you can't play 400 games a month and you're not the best player that there is, chances are you're not going to rank very high, which really sucks for a guy like Shoup, right? Imagine if he could start at rank 5.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't even get to Legend if he doesn't absolutely have to, because it's just not worth his time, especially when you have to compare your time in the sense of I could work overtime and make X amount of money, or I could dedicate my time to this hobby. And what are the payouts? Probably nothing. It's just like meh.
So, I don't know. I would like to see that. Any other hot takes, guys? Otherwise, we have one thing I want to talk about quick.
Well, I think they're going to pull a League of Explorers. They're going to go in, announce the expansion. It's coming out next week.
Oh, yeah. I think I really hope they do that. I think they'll do that, too. It'll be like
I think that they might do something. It might be 2 weeks, but I expect that it's going to come out a lot sooner than everyone expects.
I really hope so, because I would love to see Worlds be in a new metagame. That's the only reason why they wouldn't do it. But that's also a really good reason to do it, like as soon as possible, to shake up the new season in January. So we start the season, the new competitive season, in a new format, as well as having the World Championships in a new format. That would be so cool to me. I would love to see that, because this meta, although I think it's really good in skill testing, it is very stale at this point.
I think it's December 1st.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. That's probably what it's going to be, but I
think it's
going to
be the first or second week of December.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be December. I guess it would be December 5th or November 28th. Those are my two choices.
I'd say December 1st. I think December 5th or 12th.
It's going to be the 5th.
Yeah, the first week of December, please, Ben Broad.
Think it's going to come out on a Sunday?
I don't care what day it comes out on. The first week of December. No. I don't care what day.
It's coming out the day after BlizzCon.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, never mind. My calendar was scrolled wrong. Yeah, 5th or I would say 28th or 5th.
Yeah. So. Because that's the schedule that they're, like, if you go back to every other time that they've done, I think that's the schedule they kind of fit with.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be, like, this is their schedule going forward, too. Like, we're going to see this again next year. And it's going to be around the same dates that we saw this year.
Good.
And even if you go in the past, even if you go last year, we're hitting close to those same dates as well.
Yeah, it's been really close.
Wait, for consistency in Hearthstone?
The release has actually been very consistent throughout the history of Hearthstone.
Hmm.
If you don't count the time between Vanilla to Curse of Naxxramas, everything else has been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's do the thing. We're going to move on. So let's do the thing.
Beta. Or join
them. We do have something pretty cool to share with you guys this week, and that is BlizzPro published their very first meta report. And this one's pretty special, right? A lot of people create their meta reports, aggregate data, bring on a bunch of pros or whatever. And, you know, we've seen those kind of meta reports done. But actually, a patron of this show, Mac Daddy Gons, or Michael McGonagall on Twitter. Mac Daddy Gons on Twitter, but his name's Michael McGonagall, and it's public, so I can say that, has been aggregating data from multiple meta reports to basically create a meta report. And he's been posting it in our Discord for a few months, and it every time he does it, it's always so cool, because it's kind of ends the debate of Vicious Syndicate versus Tempo Storm in a lot of ways. It kind of takes that the best of those that data and kind of combines them in a way that is both data driven but realistic, I guess I would say. And so we've got that up on BlizzPro right now. And so the data reports that they took that they used are Vicious Syndicate, the Hearthstone Replay Meta Report, Metastats Archetype Matchup, and the Tempo Storm Meta Snapshot. So it's combining information from all four of these things. Ray, did you get a chance to kind of dive in and take a look at these?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, I think I was one of the first people who was like, hey, we should like tweet about this or like get it out there in some way before Mac Daddy really got onto the BlizzPro side of it, where it's actually going to try to become a thing.
Yeah.
I just saw him post every single week. He would do these reports, and there, it was honestly some amazing work. And I felt kind of bad that not many people got to see it. So I think I tweeted it one week, but now that it's getting into a format that is actually going to be able to reach more people, that's really exciting because he puts in a lot of time and effort, and the data is very useful as well.
Yeah. Another thing I really love about this, I think this is maybe my personal favorite feature, is the net gain per hour. I think is,
yeah, that is pretty cool.
It's really cool. So not only does it tell you which deck, you know, has the best win rate, but it actually takes an average of the amount of time it takes to pilot those decks and kind of gives you that amount of time. So it's not just about, oh, you know, Reno Warlock is the best deck, but you only get to play 3 games an hour. You know, yeah. It combines both of those. And I really love that aspect of
most, it. Most bang for your buck.
Yeah. Especially for people who don't have a ton of time doing that. Cause it's like a really interesting one is Aggro Token Druid. If you look at its win rate overall, it's just over 52%. So not bad. But it's actually almost the third best deck to climb with in net gain per hour, just because of how quickly you can get those games in. And
right. It's
nice to not have to speculate that, or, oh, I should be able to do this more than this. Having that number, I think, is really valuable for people.
I agree. It's also a good reference. Like for me, for example, if somebody's like, what's the best deck to climb with for somebody who is not necessarily newer, but doesn't have as much time, like a parent or somebody who works full time, I can just be like, this is the best deck that you can climb with because it will allow you to achieve the most like ranks, I guess, is stars, whatever you want to say, in
stars
the least
hour.
Amount of time.
Yeah.
Stars per hour. Yeah. The SPH is high.
The SPH is high.
Don't get pulled over for speeding.
Danny, what do you think about this one?
This is actually pretty neat. The infographic looks really good. And one of the things that I always had issues with is just analyzing the data. And I mean, being on the Vicious Syndicate team, the first time I go and I look at something, I have to look over it once or twice just to understand it. This is actually rather clear. And obviously there's more detail. There's more like, not depth, but there's more like little tiny things that you can mouse over in that. But this is clear and concise.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing they did with this that I really like is that for newer players, like this is very easy to consume. Yes. Like you look at it and it just makes sense. And you can just be like, yeah, these are the decks in the order that I play. There's not like there's enough data thrown at you, but not so much that you're overwhelmed by it.
Right. Another thing that I really like about this one, I think at the end of the day, if you're a hardcore Hearthstone player, you know, like, you know, Ray, you'll probably want as much and as complete of information as you can get. You could still go to those other meta reports and get that complete information. But like you said, JR, within 2 or 3 minutes, I have a really good idea of what the best decks on the ladder are, which ones I can win most efficiently, what the most frequent decks are on the ladder and classes on the ladder. Mm-hmm. And then also a nice little write-up, a little paragraph each on analysis and interpretation, talking about the different tiers of decks. And of course, at the very end, you've got deck codes for all the different deck lists. So
yes, the deck codes.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite thing in the world, man. Deck codes. I love it.
Great feature for sure. By the way, I do want to shout out as well because Mac Daddy Gons did a great job, you know, creating the idea for the data and, you know, doing the analysis. But Martin aka Otaku MZ. He was one of our first $50 patrons as well. Went over to write for BlizzPro and then learned Photoshop. He now does Gwent stuff for Fade to Karma. And he does the infographic part of it and does an
awesome
job. He
puts together the whole article as well. Like, he does the write up and everything.
Does he do the write up too? Oh, yep. Nice. Yeah.
These people are grinders. They're just so dedicated and good at what they do. And they really do deserve more exposure.
They put out a very good product.
Yeah.
It's very good in the end. When you look at it, it's very well put together.
This is really great. If you're looking at it and you want to be efficient or don't have a lot of time and want to know what the meta really looks like realistically, not sifting through pages and pages of data and dozens of deck lists or, you know, what you get from other websites, I think this is the way to go. This is the best way to digest the Hearthstone meta in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah, and if you want to check it out, you can go to hearthstone.blizzpro.com and go to the Ladder Optimizer meta report. And if you are listening and you're interested in Hearthstone, you should do it.
Yeah, you definitely should.
You should just do it. At least check it out, see what it is. They deserve the exposure for the time and effort that they're putting into this product, and it's all free. So there's no reason not to.
Might as well take advantage of it.
Might as well take advantage of it. Well, I think we got to get out of here, boys. It's been a while. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the meta, but you know, it's going to change soon anyway. So
hopefully
the week after BlizzCon.
Come on now. Anyways, thank you guys. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this week. Hope you enjoyed our last episode before BlizzCon. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have a dev interview up here with Young next week. And then also a special wild episode with Danny. He's going to be taking over for a week. So that'll be pretty cool. And a big thanks to our well-met legends, the real Ben and Carell. If you like the show, want to support, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. And of course, we love your 5-star reviews. If you like the show, want to support, one of the best ways you can do that is to leave a 5-star review, and we'll have one of the guys mispronounce your name on the show. So thank you guys so much again. Hope you enjoyed episode 130. Let's do some shout outs for the week. Danny, what about you, man?
No shout outs in particular, but you can follow me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS and on Twitch at DannyDonuts45.
Awesome. And Ray, what about you, man?
I want to shout out Dr. Jinky Dinky because he got second at the major Geico tournament this week, and he got second in DreamHack as well, DreamHack Denver. This man has been on fire, and people need to hear about him, so go give him a follow at Dr. Jinky Ninky on Twitter. If you can ever figure out how to spell that, tell him I sent you. That would mean a lot to me. And
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And JR, what about you?
I want to give a shout out to Sam Benson. He was the Casey Fireside Gathering innkeeper, put on another great event this week. I'm looking forward to the next one next month. Also want to give a shout out to Otaku MZ Martin and Mac Daddy Gons for putting together this awesome meta report that we talked about.
Yeah.
And you can follow me over at Eldorian on Twitter.
Cool. As for me, you can follow me everywhere at Kick Tripod. No specific shout outs this week, but if you are at BlizzCon, don't be shy. Come say hi. I know every single one of us love it when you guys come up and say hi. I'll be at Con Before the Storm for sure on Thursday night. I'll be at the Convert to Raid Pride, party on Friday night for a good portion of it. And then wherever else Ray and I sneak off to. So,
not me, huh? Not invited.
No. Me and you, we got a dinner date with Albert JR at some point as well.
I'm good with that.
What? I'm not invited?
I mean,
turnabout's fair play here, John.
I mean, you weren't inviting JR. I figured I might as well.
I didn't not invite JR. I just need you to get me into all the parties. Anyways, all right. Anyways, thanks so much for hanging out for episode 130. We record live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/blizzbro. Make sure to tune in to hearthstone.blizzbro.com for some more awesome Hearthstone content. Email us, wellmet@blizzbro.com, with your comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. And a big thanks to Jake Butno for our music, and that's going to do it for us. We won't see you next week, but Danny will. And until then,
hopefully
talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.